Good morning, Grinders, and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here to break down the NBA 8-game slate that we have today for you guys. Really excited to do the slate, kind of digging in. It looks like a pretty good one, really interesting. Just tons of different value that it looks like we're going to have, and different games to attack. And not your typical type of slate, so I'm pretty interested in it, and I know kind of the spots I want to go, so definitely excited to talk about this one. Let's get started, though, by talking about Fantasy Draft a little bit. Again, like I always like to say about their site, they're a great site for everything they've done with the industry. They've got rake-free head-to-heads. If you haven't tried any head-to-heads out, head on over there and check those out. If you want, head over and join the $11,000 pick and roll. You can join that contest for $25. It's a great contest. And on top of that, we also have for NFL, we have the Carolina Millions contest coming up this weekend to try and qualify for a live final. So head over there, guys, and check that out. All right, let's dive into the games. Let's start talking about the slate a little bit. We have the first game on tap for us, and it's 7 o'clock game. It's by itself. It's kind of weird. On FanDuel, they actually took this game off, I believe, I was looking at earlier. So I thought that was really interesting, just kind of something to note with the slate. They did not include this game, so... if you're playing over there at Fantasy Draft, and you know you have FanDuel lineups, don't worry about your FanDuel lineups until 7:30. But we have this game on that slate, so... get ready for that. Detroit Pistons and the Atlanta Hawks. This game is a 208.5 total. The Pistons are a 100.5 total, and then the Hawks have a 100 total. This is a great game. Obviously it's like, you know, not a ton of guys that we love, but this is just a great game for the Pistons in general. Because they're going up against a team like the Hawks, they have a pretty big implied total for the Pistons. They played really good this year. Stan Van Gundy has really, really tight rotations, which is great for DFS. So we definitely want to target some of these guys. I think more so in tournaments for me, just because the price tags are kind of up. Like an Andre Drummond at 16.2K feels kind of pricey to me. I don't really want to be targeting him at this kind of price tag. It's just like super expensive. I think there's other centers on this slate that we'll get to that I would rather be playing in my cash games, but I think he's a good play here. Tobias Harris for 12.3K. He's a guy that I think is a really good option here. It's a really nice price tag. He's someone that has flashed, like immense upside before. He's flashed, 50-point upside. We see that from him. And in a match against the Hawks, I think it's a great spot for him. He'll be playing a lot at the four against a guy like Luke Babbitt defending him. I would not be scared of that at all. Most of these starters are in play, right? Reggie Jackson, Stanley Johnson, he could not play. We would probably get Reggie Bullock in there if possible. And then you get Avery Bradley, too, for 12.5K. He's another guy that could have a ton of upside here. I think they're really all in play. It's kind of tough to pinpoint which one would be my favorite, though. Obviously, if salary's not a thing. Andre Drummond, we've seen he's such a different player with getting that surgery done with his nose, the sinus surgery. That's helped him be able to breathe better, just do a lot more, stay on the court longer. He's shooting better free throws. It just all around made him a better player. So it probably helped him sleep more at night. I just think it's, that surgery, obviously breathing is a good thing in life, and that's just helped his breathing in general, and I think that just helped him be a better basketball player in general, just getting him in better condition and whatnot. For me, though, Tobias Harris is probably my favorite play if I had to on the Pistons side of the ball. Just the upside that he has here in this type of matchup, it's just a great spot. So if I had to take anyone on the Pistons side of the ball, it would be Tobias Harris from a point-per-dollar perspective. Moving on to the Hawks side, there is value here that we need to look at. Dennis Schroder is probable. I'm assuming he plays. If he does play, I feel like this guy's always in play, right? He's just a fantastic option always because he's getting so much usage. He has so many touches. It's just insane how much he, passes the ball, shoots, everything. He is this team. So Dennis Schroder is always interesting to me. I like Schroder in this spot, and I think if you wanted a game stack, I would make sure to have him in your game stack. If you're looking for a little bit of value, though, I think you got to go to Luke Babbitt. Luke Babbitt is just, really cheap across the industry. He didn't have the greatest game the last time out, but he's just going to, he's going to get tons of run here. I think there's a lot of reason to play him. Also, a guy like John Collins, too. John Collins, as long as he can keep his hand to himself, he can have a pretty massive game. So there is value here with this team all around. There's guys out, right? Ilyasova is out. Currently right now, so there's, we have to be looking at some of these forward positions with Ilyasova out and Mike Muscala doubtful. There are minutes to go around, so don't sleep on the Hawks value. Just kind of keep a look at it closer to lock. And if you have any questions about it, you can always shoot me a question on Twitter at Travis Mangone. It's TravisMangone. Happy to answer questions for you guys if you have any. And as long as it's not too close to lock, I'll do my best to get to them. But just that's one situation where it looks like we're going to be looking at this value. And if Muscala is out, that's definitely going to make me want to play a lot more of this value as well. So, like I said, make sure to be looking close to lock to seeing who's in, who's out with the Hawks side, and that's going to determine some things with your lineups. All right, let's move on to the next game. We have the Charlotte Hornets and the Boston Celtics. This is a 203.5 team total, and it's not really a total that I'm in love with targeting right now. When you look here, these are games that I normally don't want to target, but there's going to be some value here, it looks like, with Al Horford out. Jason Tatum is questionable. Another situation we have to talk about with the Celtics. Very similar to the Hawks, we really need to have this news on if Tatum is in or out. If Tatum is out, this is going to be massive for guys like Aron Baynes and Daniel Theis, I believe his name is, Marcus Morris as well. This is just going to be a gold mine for those guys. So all three of those guys are going to be in play as value plays if Tatum is out. I still think they're sort of in play, right? Especially Baynes. They're definitely in play with Horford out, but if you take out Tatum too, I mean, this just makes them interesting. It even makes Jaylen Brown interesting. I get the price tag is expensive on fantasy draft. That's one thing I kind of worry about. If you kind of scroll through the salaries like I did, like I said with Eric Gordon yesterday, you're looking through all of the games, and we get to, where is his price tag? Jaylen Brown, 13.8K. Other guys that are near Jaylen Brown are Aaron Gordon, 13.7K. Who's had huge upside this year and is in a fantastic spot. You got CJ McCollum against the Nets for 13.2K. There's just guys around here, you know, that I would just prefer to play. Carmelo Anthony at 13K. There's just other guys that are way too cheap. Paul George, 12.9K. So many other guys I would rather play than Jaylen Brown. I get it, though. He's going to be in a pretty secure spot with for minutes and probably get tons of run. I just don't know if on fantasy draft I want to pay that price tag. I think I could do it on other sites, but it's a little tougher for me to, you know, do that on fantasy draft. I think there's some cheaper options I would play instead. But let's talk more about that Boston side of the ball. Keep going. Kyrie Irving, there's not a ton of studs to pay up for. And I understand it's not the greatest total to attack. If you're telling me Kyrie Irving versus other guys like Damian Lillard, of course I want Damian Lillard. But I think there's other point guards I would prefer on the slate, but I don't want to sleep on a guy who's going to have a massive usage here with all those guys out. I mean, there's no Hayward, there's no Horford. Kyrie's seeing a huge usage. He is, he's the main guy on this team. So there's reason to have interest in him in a tournament. If I'm game stacking, I would want to be playing him. I wouldn't hate getting, Kyrie Irving and then some of the value plays and then maybe run it back with a couple Charlotte guys. Speaking of the Charlotte side of the ball, yeah, it's a tough spot to peg. There's not a lot of guys I'm really absolutely in love with on this team. I could say, Kemba Walker for 14.4. I think he's a fine play, but I don't know. I just think there's other point guards I'd rather play on this slate. That's kind of one of the issues I'm running into here. There's two other guys towards the top that I think I'm going to really want to pay up for instead. So if I'm paying for Kemba, I'd rather just find the money a little bit extra for the other guys. I don't mind Dwight Howard for 14.5. I don't love the price as much. Again, a lot of these guys just feel super priced up for the Hornets, and it's not a high team total from them. They're at 99.75. I don't know. It's one of those things where I kind of try and talk about a team, I feel like, and I keep going about it, and trying to find guys that I would play. And the way I would do it is I just only play any of these Hornets players in a game stack. That's probably the way I would approach it. And I'm guessing the way I would attack it is I'd make sure to maybe get like a Kemba or a Dwight running it back on the opposite side just because they're one of their better, they're two best players basically on the team right now. So I feel like if this game's going to stay close, one of them is going to make sure they're part of the reason why. But to kind of sum up that game all around, it's the Celtics side of the ball for me. I'll load up on them with the value and just kind of go from there to help me get those studs that we'll talk about a little bit later. Moving on to the next game, we have the Indiana Pacers and the Chicago Bulls. The Pacers are on a 3-4, so this is their third game in four nights, so that's something to note. They are the favorites. They have 103.5 team total, and the Bulls have 100.5. Definitely a little bit worried about rostering Pacers. Could see them come out there, missing a ton of jump shots, just kind of like lack of legs. Rod Beard was talking on the Morning Grind about it with CJ CJ Kaltenbach and Stevie Young, they talked about with Rod Beard about kind of that stuff, and they even said, like, Rod Beard says, you notice on 3 and 4 nights, as a beat writer, he said that this, I noticed this, that they are just a lot worse on 3rd and 4 nights. So, gotta trust a guy like a beat writer, and I've always thought that too, but it's something that kind of sometimes we might forget at the start of the season, oh yeah, 3 and 4 nights. Yeah, they started to happen, and, you know, the Pacers side of the ball, it's just the 3 and 4 nights, and I'm gonna stay away from it. I understand the Bulls are not a good team right now, but a lot of these guys are priced up. Oladipo is 15.4K, getting pretty expensive. And there's just other guys I'd rather play at point guard. I get playing Collison, that's fine. Thaddeus Young, Miles Turner, they're guys you can play, but I'm just going to stay away from this spot. I don't think it's necessary to play them. I think you can find other spots on the slate to play. That's just me personally. I get if one Pacer falls in your lineup, one of these starters, I don't hate it at all, but again, unless value opens up that I feel like I need to play a guy, I'm not going to play any of these Pacers against the Bulls. I get it's a good matchup because the Bulls are not good on defense and whatnot, but I'm going to pass on it. Looking at the Bulls side of the ball, again, not a team I like targeting. They've been pretty frustrating throughout the year, but the one guy I might target is Holiday. Holiday's been messing with his shot a little bit. He's a guy that I'm expecting some positive regression to come his way. I don't mind playing him at 11.7K. I think you can get away with him, and I think he's an interesting tournament option. Would not touch him in my cash games, but in tournaments, I don't hate going there with him. Other than that, I'm staying away from the Bulls. They're just a really frustrating, annoying situation that I don't feel like dealing with. If one of those Bulls is on the winning team, so be it. But unless value opens up, I don't see myself playing any of these Bulls. I think there's other options I would rather play on this slate. Moving on, we'll talk about the Bucks side of the ball, and it's pretty interesting. The Bucks just made a trade recently. They got Eric Bledsoe on their team. So we're expecting a new look, a totally different lineup. I don't know exactly what they're going to do with their lineups. So that's something that we'll have to stay tuned and kind of see what Jason Kidd does. I'm not in the business of trying to predict Jason Kidd's lineups. He is very tough at doing that. I'm assuming Brogdon is coming off the bench now. They're just going to slide Bledsoe in there, and that would give Brogdon a ton of usage off the bench. Give them more of a scorer that they really need, a ball handler off the bench. And that's kind of going to be a tough pill for Brogdon to swallow as a rookie last year starting. And then, you know, starting this year, it's going to be tough for him to maybe adjust into that role. And the Spurs is maybe not the best situation for me to be, like, attacking it with. But there's just going to be an extreme usage, I believe, with Brogdon off the bench. So if he is off the bench, I will attack him at 10.4K. I think it's a really good spot. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, Giannis, I've just butchered the name. You can come attack me on Twitter for it now, but the Greek freak is a guy that I really, really, really like here in this spot. Just people, there's not going to be many guys that are going to be able to hang with him, right? Wherever they put Giannis, I don't know who's going to defend him. It's just, and people might say, oh, the total is low, right? 205.5 team total. When do you ever see the Bucks in a high team total? They're really just a team that is not in high team totals ever. And Giannis is always smashing. He's been smashing all year long. Of course, if he got a game like the Nets or the Suns, like, I would just be locking him in, right? Those are just, like, fantastic pace-up spots. And against the Spurs, people might say, oh, you know, the pace is low. But there's not a ton of games that I'm, you know, in love with attacking. There's two specifically that are just really, really good, you know, really just way higher team totals than the others. And, of course, I'm going to want to attack those games. But it's not one of those games where there's, like, four or five of those games, big, massive, you know, 13-game slate. Giannis is one of the bigger stars on the slate, and I think you want to get him in there. From a raw points perspective, he could have a massive game here. So I'm definitely going to load up on him. I think he's a fantastic play. Him and Brogdon are my two favorite plays on the Bucks side of the ball, and it depends on what happens with the lineup. Like, I don't hate John Henson. Henson's been a lot better recently. I'll read you what his game logs are, because they've been pretty good. Hang on one second, pulling it up. He's 8.6 on fantasy draft, and he's pretty relevant here because, you know, we can play tons of centers on fantasy draft. You can play up to 5 centers. It's, you know, awesome that you can do that. But here is Henson. He's 8.6K. Last game out, 12.75, 26.75, 27.5, 11.5, 36.25. No Greg Monroe there now. I just think this is a spot, you know, it doesn't sound like a spot where you really want to go with John Henson, but I wouldn't hate it. I think he's a guy that you could mix in on your teams for that price tag. Don't hate the play. Well, let's move on to the Spurs side of the ball. And one thing I've noticed about Kyle Anderson this year, he's been a guy that in pace-up spots, I've really been playing him more so. And this is just not a pace-up spot for him. I'm not going to play Kyle Anderson. Not really interested in him. It's tough because I don't mind Patty Mills at that price tag. I've been throwing darts at him here and there throughout the year, and he still stayed cheap. But against the Bucks, it doesn't seem like the greatest spot for him. So I'm going to probably pass on Patty Mills. I think if you want to get your exposure to the Spurs, it's just going to be simply through Aldridge and Gasol. I'm not really worried about those big men trying to hold them down low. Aldridge, I could be a little worried that Aldridge draws Giannis, and just that length could really cause him some problems. So maybe that makes me want to lean more for Gasol. 11.4K. Get you more center exposure. I always like getting exposure to centers. So I guess Pau Gasol might be my favorite option there. Rudy Gay off the bench at 10.4 is kind of, I don't know, he feels kind of like he's pricey for what he does and just doesn't feel like he has been showing enough upside for the team. It's just been a frustrating spot for him. I get the last game out there, he had 40.75. Even the game before, 36.75 against Charlotte. So, I don't know, maybe he's starting to flash it a little more. Again, it's just the minutes is what I worry about. Yes, he's shown that upside, but the minutes, I want more secure minutes. 23, 23, 27, 18, 21, 23, 23. It's been a frustrating situation, so I don't know, if you're trying a game snack, again, the Spurs side of the ball is not one I'm really in love with targeting. If for me, it's probably Pau Gasol. But if you want to mix in, a guy like Rudy Gay, if you needed that extra $1,000 to help you get in one of the studs, I wouldn't hate that. But not a side of the ball I'm really in love with the Spurs. Let's move on to the next game. We have the Los Angeles Clippers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. We have a 208 team total, 101 total for the Clippers and 107 for the Thunder. On the Clippers side of the ball, they have tons of injuries over there. We got Gallinari that's still out, so that's going to make Wesley Johnson in play today on this slate. We also have Patrick Beverley. He is currently listed as out. Austin Rivers is currently questionable. So, I mean, this is a spot where we don't have many guards left to go. I'm assuming Juwan Evans, if Rivers is out, would then get, he'd become a pretty interesting value play at 6K. Should get some run. I mean, I'm not expecting him to be, ball handling like crazy. I'm assuming that would just go to Blake Griffin. He and, other guys like Lou Williams, who I absolutely love here in this spot. I think this is a great Lou Williams spot. The one thing I have to worry about is if Andre Roberson is on him, that could cause him some fits and maybe hurt his upside a little. But again, he's in a spot where he's just going to chuck all game long. I mean, this is just a spot you have to like Lou Williams to just jack up shot after shot after shot. So have to have interest in him. Wesley Johnson, talked about him a little bit with Gallinari being out. 7.5K. He'll be standing in the corner a lot, just kind of waiting for the ball, and it's just a matter of if he'll hit his shots. Last game out there, he played 33 minutes. Game before that, 32. I'm expecting him to hit minutes in the 30s. He could be a really interesting value play on this slate. The question is, will he hit his shots? It's going to be tough for him. He'll fall into those peripherals, right? He'll fall into some steal, a steal, a block maybe, or, a couple assists and some rebounds. He'll fall into those. The question is, will he get those points to really hit the value and maybe hit the ceiling? So that's kind of the worry with Wesley Johnson. But don't mind him as a value play, especially with all those guys out. With everyone being out, though, we have to have interest in a guy like Blake Griffin. Just the upside he could have with the amount of usage, the ball being in his hand and whatnot. Blake Griffin is a guy that I would have interest in on this slate. DeAndre Jordan, who's a lot cheaper. He's almost $4,000 cheaper than Blake Griffin. Again, another guy that I wouldn't hate, but I'm a little worried about Steven Adams being on him. If there is no Steven Adams, though, which we could have maybe no Steven Adams, I don't know for sure if he's going to play, right? He went to the locker room. I saw the injury go down. It was something with his ankle. He grabbed his ankle pretty, watching the game last night, I saw him just grab his ankle. And he was trying to walk it off, but then he just went straight to the locker room. We currently have no news on that, but if there is no Steven Adams, we could have, DeAndre Jordan could absolutely have a field day on the boards. You get tons of putbacks. I just don't know who's going to cover him, right? Is Nick Collison going to play center? I just don't know who's going to cover him here. So I'm assuming DeAndre Jordan, it's not like he'll get run off the floor or anything. There's no way. They just can't afford that with the way their lineup is right now. They'll just try and match, if the Thunder tried to go small and run and gun, DeAndre Jordan will just do his best to keep up, obviously. So I think Jordan, if Adams is out, could be a really, really interesting play on this slate and just could eat on the board. So have interest in him, too, just because of the situation with the Clippers. If Austin Rivers does play, something to note, He is questionable, and that'll hurt Lou Williams if Austin Rivers does play, because then he sucks up some usage. But Austin Rivers, he's a guy that we've seen Doc Rivers when his guy, when he has his point guards out or any of his guards, he just lets his son chuck up the ball. And just to read you his game logs, last couple games: 36 minutes, 31 minutes, and then 35.5 fantasy points and 29.5. And then the game before that, 38 minutes and 18.75 fantasy points. I mean, he's just been getting tons and tons of runs. So Austin Rivers is a guy that I would have interest in if he does play. All right, well, that's enough blabbing about the Clippers side of the ball. I feel like I've talked about them for a while now here. But I do think there's plays that we have to have interest in, and just to, stay in tune with the news on them to kind of make those final decisions. Moving on to the Thunder side of the ball, and there's guys I have interest in just because the price tags are way, way too cheap on them. Again, I'm going to pass on Russell Westbrook. Like, there's, I think Big T said it on Twitter, like, anyone who thinks, like, there's something wrong with Russell Westbrook is crazy. Like, they just gain these amount of, like, high-usage players, and he's not the same guy. Like, I'm not paying this price tag for him. I'm taking a stand on it. I'm not paying for him at this price tag of $21K. I'd rather play other guys. There's just no reason to, in my opinion. If one of those guys are out, sure, I'll be down to play, I'll be down to pay for him. But at this price tag and this situation, I just don't think it's necessary. I just think the upside is kind of, capped right now. Sure, he's a fine cash game play. You can get a ton of raw points if you have, like, all these value plays and he fits your last spot and you don't have any studs to pay up for. I get it from that perspective. But I just think there's other guys I'd rather pay up for. Like, we'll get to him. But Damian Lillard against the, against the Nets. We'll talk about that. That's going to be a fun one. But just getting back to the Thunder, I'd rather play, Paul George or Carmelo Anthony. They're super cheap. 12.9K is just way, way too cheap for Paul George. And had a pretty decent game yesterday. Same with Carmelo Anthony. For his price tag, 13K for the game that he had yesterday. I mean, that's a fantastic spot. I just like these guys way more. We also, one thing to note about the Clippers is the way we attack them is through the wing. And these wing players, I'm just gonna go with Anthony and George. I think you play them. I think they're both underpriced so much. You can play them on the same team. I get Patrick Beverley defense won't be there to bother Russell Westbrook, but I'm going to let everyone else play Russell Westbrook, and I'm just going to play Carmelo Anthony and Paul George. The one thing I worry about is, yes, this is a back-to-back flying out from Denver back to Oklahoma City, so that gives me a little bit of worry. Obviously could have a little bit of tired legs. I still think it's a great spot for them. They're just underpriced, in my opinion, Paul George and Anthony, so I'm going to play them. If Steven Adams does play, don't hate him, but I think there's better, other center options that we'll get to that I think are more in play. But, and we've talked about already, so I don't know. Steven Adams is not going to really make the cut for me. I'm just really all in on that Aaron Baines value today. It seems like a great spot for me, where I'm just going to be targeting that. But moving on to the next game, and it's the game of the slate. All the DFS players are going to be watching this game on League Pass. Fire up the Orlando Magic and the Phoenix Suns. Not the sexiest game. When you tell your friends, hey, I'm really excited to watch the Magic Suns game. Like, if say you go to the bar tonight and you're watching the game, and you say to the bartender, hey, can you put the Magic Suns on? They're going to be like, what are you thinking? But from a DFS perspective, we love these games. 224 team total, 113.75 team total for the Magic, and 110.25 for the Suns. I love this spot. Tons of guys to like in this game. For me, it's Elfrid Payton. 12.9K. He's a guy I'm going to want to play in my cash games. I'm going to want to play in my tournaments. Depends on the site, though, right? On Fantasy Draft, 12.9K is a little easier for me to stomach in cash games. On other sites, it might be a little more difficult based on the price tags that I've been looking at. But I love Elfrid Payton. I think he has so much upside for what he does. This is the perfect game environment for him. Last game I played him that I was absolutely in love with was the Nets, and he disappointed because he got hurt. He was playing fine, but the injury really, 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 really hurt him. But had a good night that night. It was I'm hoping I can have another one of those nights playing some of these Magic guys. I also loaded up with a guy like Vucevic, who's in a fantastic spot too. It's not like Alex Len is going to be able to hang on to him here, right? Alex Len should struggle at trying to lock him down. So Vucevic could have a huge game. I mean, most of these guys are just really, really in play in the starting lineup. Another guy is like Evan Fournier. You would think that his usage drops with Elfrid Payton joining the lineup. But he's a great off-ball player. He can chuck up the ball really well. We saw what he did against the other day in the matchup. I forget who they played, but I watched that game. I believe it was against the who was it? I think it was against. Let me look. The Knicks. I'm trying to think of which. Who I watched. Yes, it was against the Knicks. And yeah, I watched that game, and yeah, he benefited from steals. I believe he had 5 in that game, but he played really well, you know, just still played great off the ball. Look, you know, back in his natural position, doesn't need to have the ball in his hands to put up buckets and whatnot. So I like Evan Fournier, 14.5K. Feels expensive, but he's still a really good option. Same with Aaron Gordon, too. Another guy to love. I'm going to be gushing about a lot of these Magic players. I think all the starters are in play. The only guy I would be kind of hesitant to roster is Terrence Ross, because we all know he's the worst and he just has to make his shots to be in play, and he's been a frustrating option. But this is a good game environment for him. So if you're cheap, if you're looking for cheap exposure to this game and he kind of fits the last spot in a tournament, I would say, hey, if you're able to stomach some risk, you know, go ahead. But I don't think it's going to be a route that I take on this late. Guys like Shelvin Mack are now out of play with Elfrid Payton coming back. I get Augustine is out, but there's no reason to target him and just waste your time with that. I think Jonathan Simmons, he should probably be coming off the bench now. Pretty high usage. Wouldn't hate going with him here in this spot. Another Magic that you could play. Kind of to rank the Magic for you of which guys I would play, specifically looking at fantasy draft pricing, I'd say my number one option is probably Elfrid Payton at that price, just way too cheap. I'd list my number two is Aaron Gordon at 13.7K. I think he's, you know, that's just a really nice price tag on him. And then I'd go with Fournier 3 and then Vucevic 4, just because of the way the slate is being constructed right now. But moving on to the Suns side of the ball, we have Tyson Chandler. It looks like he is going to be questionable for this game. So, man, that's news that we're really going to need, because I know we don't want to go back to the well and play this guy, but I think Alex Len is in play here. Vucevic does not play much defense, so if Alex Len is going to get all this run, we should have interest in him. I know it hurts to say. He had a really, really rough game the other day and got in foul trouble. So, I don't know. I get it. People are going to really, really not want to play him in this spot. Understand completely. It was very frustrating. But it's just, if he's going to get all the minutes at center and he's a value, we have to be really looking at him. So, it's one of those things. It depends on if you can stomach. And I don't know. I think I'm able to go back to the well, at least in tournaments. Cash games, it might be a little harder. It just kind of depends on how the overall roster construction works. And yeah, we had Aaron Baines the other day, and we probably should have went for that, and we didn't, but I don't know. Not much you can do there. Just to read you the head-to-heads for Alex Len and Vucevic, I think it's pretty interesting. Alex Len, he had a game against Vucevic where he played 35 minutes and had 31 points and 15 rebounds. Just in general, to read you, like, they played 7 games, and in those 7 games, 26.4 minutes per game for Alex Len and 12.6 points per game is what he's averaging, with 9.1 rebounds. Basically averaging a double-double. Like, Alex Len is going to be a good play here. It hurts to, you know, it's going to hurt to click his name. But if there's no Tyson Chandler, you want to play Alex Len. Don't worry about Vucevic. If he gets in foul trouble again, so be it. In cash games, it's hard to do, though, and I don't think you need to do it. So you can, you know, just play an Aaron Baines, you know, other center options and move on. But just don't sleep on Alex Len here, guys. I'm just going to stress it enough. In tournaments, you know, zig when others are zagging, people are not going to want to play him again. It's just not going to, it's not going to happen. People don't want to play guys like this. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the industry is, you know, maybe the industry is getting sharper. Obviously it gets sharper every year, but, and maybe in tournaments they won't, but we just know recency bias is one of the biggest things in DFS. If a guy has a really bad game the next game and it's like very well known, people just don't want to roster him. It's very hard to click on him. And, yeah. So now that you guys have probably turned off the podcast, cause you listened to all of my Alex Len talk, let's move on to some other guys on the Sun side of the ball, because there are other good plays here. Definitely don't want to sleep on that. Mike James is a really interesting value play. He's been really good. Seems like someone I would probably want to get in my cash games if I could. Don't mind him as a value here. TJ Warren and Devin Booker, they're just soaking up so much usage and chucking up so much shots. We have to have interest in them here. The amount of upside that they have, I don't mind playing them together too. Like, say you're playing a game stack, I get it, right? You don't want to play Len, Mike James. You feel like there's other value plays that you'd rather have. Just at the wing, play guys like Devin Booker and TJ Warren. I don't mind doing that. You know, those two guys, just they put up so much shots and they don't really eat into each other, because they're both are putting up just a massive, massive amount of shots, have tons of usage, do so much for this team right now. So I don't mind pairing the two of them with like 3 Orlando players if you want. You can pair them up with like an Elfrid Payton and Evan Fournier and, you know, an Aaron Gordon. And I think that's a great game stack. And there's just tons of different things that you can do. So again, kind of to stress, there's a lot of guys to look at on this side of, in this game. If anyone is interested in Jared Dudley, I'm going to tell you to probably pass. I get he's gotten a lot more run. He's really, really cheap, and it's like cheap exposure you get to this game. Last two games, 20 minutes, 23 minutes. And I get it. He could definitely get run here. If there is no Greg Monroe, which I'm assuming he's still out, then obviously maybe he – if you have 7.1K and you're doing a game stack of this game, I don't hate throwing him in there just because we're seeing the coach give him some run. It's pretty frustrating because at any time I feel like they could just get rid of his minutes and it would just be, you know, he'll just be done as an option, right? I don't really want to be the guy that's guessing what Jared Dudley's going to do, but I don't hate mixing him in a game stack if you need that cheap option. And like, say it helped you, you know, you did that game stack and then it helped you get like, you know, one of the studs that we're going to get to, I promise. We'll get to him in a little bit. But let's move on from this game. It's an awesome game environment. Just to kind of stress again, I stressed about the Cavs and the Rockets, how I love that game for yesterday's slate. And this is kind of similar to the Cavs and Rockets. I want tons of exposure to this game. Moving on to the next one, and this is kind of one I just want to fade. It's just ugly. 196.5 team total, the Miami Heat and the Utah Jazz. I'm just not interested in this game, really. It's just not a lot of fantasy goodness to go around. It's such a slow pace. It's a pretty frustrating game. So for me, I'm currently really thinking about fading it. It's tough because I hate just crossing games off the slate, but sometimes I like doing that, and it's only an 8-game slate, but I think it's a game that you could cross off the slate and be fine if you wanted. Just to read you the head-to-head matchups of Gobert and Whiteside, because they're two guys to absolutely, have interest in. They're two of their better players on each team. Whiteside is averaging 11.3 points a game and 11.7 rebounds in 33 minutes, and Gobert is averaging 9 points and 9 rebounds. Just the thing I don't like about this game is the pace is so slow, and they're just, you know, these guys are going to be eating into each other, just getting rebounds, stealing rebounds from each other. I just don't think it's necessary. Don't see the big game coming from either. If we get news that some guys are out, that kind of open up some massive amounts of usage for guys, I could get it. Say a Tyler Johnson is out. I know he was day-to-day the other day, he's day-to-day today. So I could see obviously maybe playing him. Not playing him, playing Goran Dragic. That's a guy that maybe you have some interest in, but again, it's just a tough situation. One guy to note on the Jazz side of the ball is Donovan Mitchell, who's been chucking up the ball. He's throwing up like 20 shots a game. I think he's an interesting value play, and you could put him on the list of guys that you might want to play here. But other than that, I just really don't want to target any of these guys here. It's just a frustrating game all around. I'll let other people kind of make the mistake and roster a bunch of guys from this game or pick guys here and there and just kind of ruin their lineup. So let's move on to the last game. Very similar to the Suns and the Magic. It's a game that's absolutely locked and loaded. I just want to be all over this. Is the Trailblazers and the Nets. Massive team total, 222 team total. The Nets have 106.75 total, and then the Trailblazers at 115.25. 115.25 is the highest on the slate, so this is the game that I think people are going to be, you know, obviously going to a lot. And reason why is Damian Lillard. We know the Nets lead the league in pace. They're terrible on defense. I mean, we should just be loading up on Damian Lillard in this spot. He's one of the best plays on the slate. If you told me between Giannis or Damian Lillard, again, their price tags are a little different, so that's kind of one of the issues. But I think I would maybe lean Lillard and then try and do something else with the money just because I feel like this is just a beautiful, beautiful spot for him here. Yes, but absolutely love Damian Lillard here. Just want to load up on him on most of my teams. I don't hate the idea of going to CJ McCollum as a nice leverage play, right? You could play both of them together. I think that there's enough room for them both to eat, but we've seen CJ McCollum have huge games against the Nets in the past. I believe he had a 31 point game and a 33 point game in the past couple of years. And then these teams don't play each other a lot. I don't know how many games they played off the top of my head, but I know CJ McCollum has had massive games in this spot. And I tried to look it up, and I think I tweeted it out last year, and I'm gonna see if I can find it again. But I believe CJ McCollum's girlfriend is like a big like New York like. You know, Nets and Knicks fan, and he said, I believe he said a little bit of narrative, but he said, like, I like beating up on my girlfriend's team, so I think he kind of gets a little excited for these games because his girlfriend is a big fan of these two teams. So I don't know, don't quote me on it. I believe I tweeted that out, like, quoted a tweet that I found a video of it last year after the game, him in an interview. So, but I know CJ McCollum, it's just, obviously it's a great spot because the Nets don't play much defense. Also, Nurkic, he's been a guy that man, I wish he would have been a little better this year. He's kind of cheap, has tons of upside, and we know that guys are not going to be able to hold on to him. Like a guy like Mozgov is not going to be able to handle him. He struggled out to start out the year, but, you know, let me just read you his game logs. Last game against Memphis, obviously he's going to struggle, right? Marcus Gasol is not the easiest opponent. 13.25. Then against Oklahoma City, 47, 46.25, and 44.25. Nurkic has been really good. You know, past couple games. Maybe he's just found his groove. This is a spot at 12.2K. I don't hate getting exposure to him here. I think he can be an interesting option. We still have Al-Farouq Aminu out, so that means guys like Evan Turner and Mo Harkless on the wing are interesting options that I don't hate. Again, you want to get a ton of exposure to this game. I don't mind mixing them in some of your game stacks or maybe as a value play in cash. If it kind of fits, you just get exposure to this game. It's just a great game environment for them in general. Again, I just want to stress again, love Damian Lillard here in this spot. He's probably my favorite play on the Trailblazers side of the ball. And kind of just something to note, you could play him with CJ McCollum if you want in a tournament, but I don't hate if you think Damian Lillard is not going to have a great game. Maybe you're just like, oh, I'm going to fade him today. Then just go with CJ McCollum. You know, he could obviously have like a huge game, and then that could eat into some of Lillard's production, and that could give you a leverage from the field because most of the field is going to have Lillard in tournaments. Not most of the field, but a lot of people are. So you can leverage with CJ McCollum and then call it a day. Like, you know, maybe he can give you a leg up on the field, and you're still getting exposure to a great game at a cheaper price tag through a great player. So, again, I love Damian Lillard. He's going to probably be in my cash games, but just give me that kind of option that I always like talking about whenever I, you know, whenever I see these, you know, two high usage guards on the same team. Moving on to the Brooklyn Nets, we'll talk about them a little bit. They've been having some injury issues as of recently. You know, Jeremy Lin is obviously still out, so that's been great for a guy like D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie. They've been getting a lot more run at the guard spot. D'Angelo Russell, I think, he's a fine option here. I worry about his minutes, right? The coach has been, you know, messing with the minutes. It's been, you know, last game against Denver, only 21. Then he had 30 against Phoenix. Then there's the outlier against the Lakers, which he got all the revenge. 28 then against Phoenix and 24 against Denver. At that price tag of 14.4K, I'm just struggling really, really paying up for him here with those minute issues. With the way the coach is with the Nets, he runs like such a huge rotation. So it's a frustrating spot. So I don't know. I'll probably stay away from him. I'm more interested in some of the value plays. One of the value plays is Allen Crabbe. It's just a question of will he make his shots, which he gets all the revenge here against his former team, against the Trailblazers. He should have a blast with this game. Return him back to Portland. I want to load up on him here for a cheap price tag, especially with the injury situations. He should be in for some minutes, and I'm expecting, you know, that Denver game was kind of an outlier. They were getting blown out, and then they ended up covering towards the end of the game with just, like, you know, a wonky lineup. So the 18 minutes that he saw the last game is kind of an outlier in my opinion. I'm expecting him to get more minutes here, and we saw that he let D'Angelo Russell go out there and get tons of revenge, so why can't Allen Crabbe go out there and get his? So definitely think Allen Crabbe is one of my favorite plays on the Nets side of the ball. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is still considered as questionable, same with Trevor Booker. Jared Allen is still out, so there's forwards here to really have interest in. You know, Quincy Acey, he's cheap across the industry. I don't love rostering Quincy Acey, but if he's a value that makes things work, again, there's not like all these studs to pay up for today. It's really like Westbrook, Giannis, and Damian Lillard. But I don't know if you need to go Quincy Acey route this slate. I don't mind Damari Carroll. He's been really great this year. Kind of struggled, you know, as of recently, you know, last game, obviously, like I said, Denver, the outlier game, 17 minutes, 17 fantasy points, but all those games before, he's just been a consistent 30 fantasy points, like, most of the year, so, you know, at this price tag, 12.5, it's not my favorite price tag, but if you want to get exposure to him, I've been playing him a lot cheaper this year, so it's been nice, and if you can get him a little cheaper on the industry, sure, but I don't mind 12.5K, I think it's fine for Damari Carroll here on Fantasy Draft. So yeah, also don't forget Timothy Mozgov is always someone that you can consider as a value. I don't think he's the right spot to do it. I think he'll get eaten alive by Nurkic, but I always kind of mention him with the Nets, just like when you're that short at the forward position, it's just kind of a tough spot. Someone like Tyler Zeller too, right? Last game he went out there and played 27 minutes. Obviously Mozgov, maybe he could be the guy that gets more minutes, but Zeller went out there and had 27 minutes the last time against Denver, you know, 17 against Phoenix, and had decent outings, 31.25 fantasy points, and then 17.25, so There's value here if Jefferson and Booker are out in the forward spot, so I just wouldn't want to sleep on that at all. Also, Joe Harris, too. He was the guy that was a value the other day. Only played 21 minutes. Game before that, 25. There is some value with Joe Harris. He should get some run at, his position like small forward, a little bit shooting guard. So another guy to be, put on the list. But for me, on the net side of the ball, my favorite option is Allen Crabbe. If I'm gonna play one guy on each side, I'll play Allen Crabbe on the Nets, and then I'll play Damian Lillard on the Trailblazers. And I think that's a great way to get exposure to this game if you want to just take that route. But that'll about wrap up the slate for us, guys. Thanks a lot for joining me again. If you ever have any questions, any general strategy, if you ever want to talk about, ask like a 2-for-2 swap or something like that, just give me a follow at Travis Mangone, TravisMangone. Happy to answer those questions for you guys. Thanks a lot again, and go sign up for some fantasy draft contests. And if you can't get in them for the NBA slate, say you're busy and you end up getting can't play the slate, head over to join in the Carolina Millions contest. If you want to try and qualify for a live final, don't want to try and play in one of those massive ones on DraftKings or FanDuel. It's kind of tough to qualify for those. It's a little easier for the Carolina Millions contest. So head on over there and try and join those. Just lesser of a field to battle against. So. Again, thanks a lot for joining us, guys, and I'm out.